just spoke about Michal being really upset at seeing David HaMelech, right? She saw that David HaMelech was going crazy. She was upset. It does not mention over here David HaMelech's response to Michal, the end of Parak Tes Vav, about how upset he was and saying like, yeah, well, you know, not like your father, etc. It's not necessary because, again, that's not the point of the Sefer. The point of the Sefer is not going through his whole history. It's just going through what we need to know of what happened over here. And David HaMelech felt regret, only that he had not done even more for the Aron Kodesh. That was the idea behind it. So, Yavius Aron Elokim Vayetzigu also, in the beginning of Parak Tes Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, they brought the Aron of Hashem. They placed it down B'soch HaOl Asher Natal David. The David HaMelech had put up this tent. They brought more korbanos. Now remember, they had brought korbanos every, you know, six, eight steps, whatever it was. Now they did it right in front of this area in the base of, well, what would in the future be the base of Mikdash. David, he stopped bringing it. And he blessed the people in the name of Hashem. We don't know exactly what kind of a bracha we're dealing with over here, because obviously this is not Birchas Kohanim. This is also seems to not be the same brachos that Shlomo Melech gave when he built the Beis Hamikdash. It was a special bracha that David Melech just got up and said, "Vayichalak l'chol ish yisomi ish vad isha." He gave them, each man and each woman, l'ish kikar lechem, each man got a loaf of bread, the eshpar, a sixth of a cow, which is kind of cool, the ashisha, and then this sort of like this keg of wine altogether. There was between 6.7 and 12 gallons, depending on the different opinions, right? That's how much he gave to every single person. Obviously, it's expensive, but nowhere near the amount that Shlomo Melech gave every person when they left after. And he gave it all in front of the Aron Hashem, the Levim, Meshorsim, by the hand of the Levim, the Meshorsim, right? And it says, L'hazkir l'hodos l'ha'al l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to remind and everybody and to do whatever it is for Hashem Elokei Yisrael, right? He had some of those Levim standing right in front of there. He placed in front of the Aron these Levim to sing these songs in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said that wrong.
When does he give this? He gave to all of Bnei Yisrael the meat, the bread, yeah, the wine. I mean, this was only the people who were at the
yeah.
The
I think party. It was only the people that made
it. It says all the people of Israel.
Yeah, I think all the people that were there. Yeah,
I mean, that would make more sense.
Yeah,
I mean, he was going through every country giving out.
Yeah. I don't think he went through that. Yeah, it's the people that were there. Like, so everybody could bring it back. Okay, so look what it says right here. So we got Asaf Arosh and Mishneo Zachariah. We have Asaf in charge. Now, Asaf, as we all know, Asaf was one of the people that either put together parts of Tehillim or was at least like sort of like a Navi. Maybe it was just Ruach HaKodesh that put together parts of Tehillim. Well, Mishneo Zachariah, the second in command was Zachariah. Ye'il Ushmira Mois, Ve'echil Matisya, Ve'aliyav Uvnaya, Ve'ovid Adom, Ve'yel, Ve'chlein Nevalim Ve'chinoros, that were had these harps and whatever, but also mitzil taim mashmiya, and Asaf sounded those cymbals, right, as well. He was somebody who was supposed to, you know, obviously tremendous over here, the idea behind it. We do have Ye'iel, right, who apparently is going to be a little, I guess he's mentioned twice. I don't know if it's, you know, somebody a little bit different. You have Ye'iel, and later on Ye'iel. We also have Ye'chiel over here, which apparently was an interesting name. Ovid Edom, it could have been the same Ovid Edom as before, right, that the Aron Kodesh was in. Most likely it was just another person by the name of Ovid Edom. And then we have
Ye'iel, man. What does Ye'iel mean?
I don't know. Was it, anybody have a suggestion? Ye'iel?
No.
That's a weird word. I don't have an answer. Ye'chiel we all get. Maybe the ayin. There could have been people that couldn't pronounce the ches correctly, but that's it. I don't know. Uvena Yehu v'Achzil Akwanim. They were the Kohanim. B'chatzotzos Tamid. They were blowing on the trumpets. Lifnei Aron Beis Elohim in front of the Aron. Bayomu Oz Nasan David Barosh Lahotos Hashem Biad Asaf Ve'Achov. He gave the responsibility for the people to be in charge of thinking on Kadosh Baruch Hu in the hands of Asaf and all the people there. They were going to be the people in charge. Now some say that this was done responsively. That Asaf would get up and say, Hodul Hashem Kiruv Ishmo, and other people would repeat after him, and they keep going afterward and afterward and afterward. Right? Apparently, in Mayence, in Magenzi, right, this was the song of Todah that everybody used to do on every Shabbos when they could do it. Hodul Hashem Kiruv Ishmo. They all did it responsively, similar to what they did in the base in this area right over here by David HaMelech, similar to what they had back in the day. He tried to get it all together. Now, I do have over here the thing, the Levium and the Kohanim and everything, has no parallel in Shmuel. Meaning, never do we mention anything like this about the different people in Shmuel and Abi going through everything over there. This song that they sang is not mentioned over there either. It doesn't mention anything that they sang over here. So it's interesting why we go into it more over here than it was anything else. It's possible that that part of Shmuel was written by Nusson and Gud, who were contemporaries of David HaMelech, right? And the people, right, that were there probably were used to all the different styles and what people were doing at the time, and they were just like, like, oh, this is what we did, and this is how we got involved, and everything like that. It could be that's what it was referring to over there. And they were dealing with the Kohanim Levim all the time. They saw the Avodah all the time. So in Shmuel, when you were living at that time, there was no need to go into all this stuff of how everything worked and what it was supposed to be and whatever. Like, people would look at it and they'd be like, yeah, we know, we're here. So they wouldn't have done it. But by this time, right, this is hundreds of years later, it was all a distant memory of how it worked and who was in charge and who did what when and stuff like that. And because of that, when Ezra Sofer is putting together Divrei Hayamim, he said, all right, here's how it worked. And they didn't need it then, but they need it now to remember what they were supposed to do. I guess, to so to speak, they would bask in the glory of what it was like in the times when they actually had this. Now, here's the song. This song that we have of Hod L'Hashem Kirov Shmo.
It's interesting. Yeah. And you see this, I guess, around this time period. Mm-hmm. A lot of people getting names with El, Yah, Heriot.
Yeah.
You don't really see that in the times of the Torah.
We do by the Nesiim. Nisan ben Tzur, almost all of them do. Remember when we go through all those people? Yeah, quite a bit of them have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in them, right? If we go through, I think in the 70s of Canaan, when they're mentioned in the Medrash, I think almost all of them have El in either them or their father's name, like Pidal ben Gamliel, Gamliel ben Pidat Tzur.
But like the major characters.
You're right. The major characters, though.
Yeah, almost all the Shavuot, except for Yehuda.
But that's not... But if we're going into the regular people, which this is as well, right. I mean, we're going to David Shlomo, they also don't have it technically.
Right.
Yeah. Now, this song over here is going to be a combination of three different Tehillims. There's going to be Tehillim Kufhei, Tehillim Tzadi Vav, and Tehillim Kuf Vav. So we're going to see a bunch of different ones that go through over here. Hodu L'Hashem Kirov Shmo, Hodu Yavam Yimal Lilo Sov. Shir Lo, Zamr Lo, Sing to Him, Sing to Him. Hisicho B'chonu Philosoph, Tell Over All of His Wonders. Hisalo B'Shem Kajobi Smach Levakshe Hashem. Praise in the name of the Holy One. May His heart be happy. Mevakshe Hashem, those who search out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perfect. Dear Shah Hashem, Uzo, Bakshu, Fanam, Tell Me, always search for God's name. Hisicho B'chonu Philosoph, Shah Hashem, Vosov, Shadei Fiyu. Right, remember all of his wonders that he has done, his signs, I guess, Mishdefiu, and everything that comes out from his mouth. Zeri Yisrael Avdo Bnei Yaakov B'chirov, the children of Yisrael, his servant, the children of Yaakov, his chosen one, who Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Haaretz Mishpatov. He is Hashem, our God, in all of the land are his, his deeds, his judgments. Zichul Amr Yisrael, you should always remember his bris, Davar Zichul Avdor, he should command something for 1,000 generations, Asher Kras Avram Shvuah to Yitzchak. He made a bris with Avram, he made his shvuah, his oath to Yitzchak itself, he made Yaakov the whole. If I remember correctly, wait, the Yitzchak versus Yitzchak?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, it's supposed to be whenever you're dealing with the Geula Shlema, you're dealing with Yitzchak, and I guess that's what it was written in Tehillim, but over here is Yitzchak. I don't think he says anything down here, but I remember there being like Yitzchak is the name that we refer to when it's always referring to the Geula.
Right.
Something like that. I don't remember. It's Sat. So I remember there being, because Sin minus Tzadi is 210, and that was the year's Mitzrayim, but I don't remember what the idea was. It's a Gemara that mentions Yitzchak and Yitzchak, but I don't remember which one and why, but I remember that being, that is specifically that way. But I don't know, and this is interesting, because it does say, V'amadiel Yaakov l'chok, it became a chok for Yaakov, li'Yisrael b'ris olam, and for Yisrael b'ris olam. This one over here is pretty obvious, because Yaakov is the name of when B'nai Yisrael are not doing always the right thing. Yisrael is the name when they're always doing the right thing. For Yisrael, it's a b'ris olam, the b'ris lasts forever. For Yaakov, it's a chok, it stands there even though they don't deserve it. Lema l'cha etain eretz Kanan. Say to you, I give you the land of Kanan, chavon l'chalaschem, I guess the lot of what you're supposed to inherit. When you were few in Yarmur Kimab Garim Ba, when you were so little, when you were hardly dwelling there, you went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to the other. I did not allow any man to take care, you know, to destroy them, right? And I even knocked down kings for their sake. Don't touch my anointed ones, be vile to Reu. Do not do anything bad to my prophets. I believe this is a new one. Chav Gimel starts a new Tehillim. Shir L'Hashem Kol Haaretz. Everybody should sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should tell over of his salvation every single day. Sapra V'Gayim Eskvodo. You should tell over among the nations his honor. V'Chol Amin Filosa. Of all his wonders. Ki Gadol Hashem Olam Ha'Oid. Awesome is God. Very praiseworthy. V'Nora Hu HaKol Elohim. He is more awesome than all the other gods that you can think of. Ki Kol Yamim Alilim. Because those are all full of nothingness. V'Hashem Shomayim Asa. Hashem has made the heavens. Hov Dadol Efenav. There is awesomeness and beauty in front of Oz V'Chad V'Vinkomo. Strength and I guess something else, Chadva, happiness in its place. Give to Hashem families of the nations. Havalosh and Kavova Oz, let them have Kavod and Oz. Havalosh and Kavosh and Sumachalavo Lachfanov. He shtach Valasham Aratz Kodesh, bow down to Hashem in the holy places. Chilmofanov Kalaritz, Aftikon Tival Valtimot. Right? Don't let the world falter or anything like that. Allow it all to be. And I guess this is aiming high. This seems really, really high. This is almost as if to say that all the nations should follow as well, as if everybody should be together doing the same thing. Yismachu Hashemayim v'zgalu ha'aretz, let the heavens be happy and the land rejoice. V'yomru v'gayim Hashem malach. All the nations say Hashem is king. Yira mayamu melo. Let them shake, right, roar, the sea and everything in it. Yalot asad v'choshboaz, the fields. Oz yiranu atayar. Even the trees will shake to sing to Hashem. Melefnei Hashem kifal lishbotazars, when he comes to judge the land. Hodul Hashem kifal kilin l'chastoy. Thank Hashem for all the goodness, because everything is his.
390 significant?
No, because Shin and Sadi all together. Shlochat v'yoser. Right, Mishin Tzad Yishin Al Yigalim. He will never exile them.
Yigalim never redeem them. Oh, go, yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know where that's from.
And what, the term is Chiddush. What's the 390?
Shin Tzad Yitavos. From the beginning of the Tochacha until Gaal and Avshalom in Bechukosai, there are 390 words for 390 years that the Aser Shvatim sinned. No name of Hashem in all of those Pesukim in Bechukosai. Shama Inlam Chilip Elokei Yisrael, they didn't want to have anything to do with God. That's why I say Vishwal Zul Yitzchak, and then tell him Yitzchak, that's the 390. So there you go. That's weird. 390 words. We have to check if the Chukos, their Mamish has the 390 words.
So there was the 390 years that they sinned, because they sinned for 390 years, was that consecutively? And so therefore they were not.
That's certainly what it sounds like, right?
So they wanted to go.
Yeah, that's a good call by you. That's a good catch. I guess Hashem swore, if you don't sin over 390 years, automatically no worries about anything else. Well, I would say that Mashiach would come by then.
You don't sin. What does it mean, don't sin?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that means. No. That doesn't mean it's a kol zman shelo chatu banav. Oh, I think if they don't sin for more than 390 years, meaning if they've only sinned for 389 years, they won't be put into galus. Once they hit 390, then they go into galus.
Is that the permanent galus of the 10 tribes, or does that mean galus of
whatever our galus is?
And also, what does it mean they sin? How do we determine, meaning everybody's sinning and no one's doing any mitzvahs?
I don't know. No, that doesn't make any sense.
What is the extent of the sin level?
Yeah, I guess more than mitzvahs, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But even that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. That's a good catch. Where is that from? That's a Balaturim? Yeah. I didn't even know there was a Balaturim in Divrei Yamin. That's an interesting one. You'd have to find the source for that. There is a Sefer on the Balaturim in Chumash. I don't think there's a Sefer on the Balaturim in Navi. I have no idea.
And I'd have to like search. The 10 tribes were sinning. Is there anybody who talks about were they all completely off?
Like, no, for sure not. Were you a Navi?
Okay, fine. I'm not talking about the individual, there had to be. Like he was a Navi, but I'm saying.
I don't know. You can't. You had the
But how do you know what the extent
was? Oh, I don't know. We have no idea. I honestly don't know. It could very well be that the majority of people weren't sinning and that Eliyahu Navi had this whole group. We have no idea. We know that the king was evil, which meant that things were going down really, really bad.
Every single king was bad.
Yeah, it seemed really bad.
The majority must have been bad.
Well, they weren't there for 390 years. There were no kings in Israel for 390 years. They weren't there for that long. It was only for 320, 280,
so that 390 is including the David and Shlomo years?
I would assume. They weren't there for that long. It couldn't have been that long. It's a good call. All right, I don't know. All right, let's finish off these prakim over here. Hod l'Hashem ki tov lecha asu and lamed dal lamed hey v'imro she'enu elokei yishenu. May God save us. V'kabtzenu batzlanu me'agayim. Take us away from the gayim. L'odil shenu kachach to thank your holy name. L'ishtav ha'pis l'asecha and praise with your praises. Baruch Hashem elokei yisro min olam v'olam v'yomor chol am amen v'alel l'Hashem. They all said amen and hallel l'Hashem. Let's praise God over here. Okay, lamed zayin. So that's that. That was combinations altogether. V'yazov sham l'pnei aron b'ris Hashem l'asaf. So David left Asaf and all of his men there by the Aron Kodesh l'sharis v'nei aron to serve in front of the Aron. Talmid l'dvar yom b'yomo, right? Every single day they would do something appropriate for that day. I would assume that means the yom that we say today, right? That nobody ever knows by heart. Never.
No.
We know a few of them.
Well, I put it at the end of
Mizmor L'Asaf.
Friday.
That was so funny. Give me the first couple words of Monday's Yom. Tell that to 99% of the people that daven every single day.
You start me on Friday.
First 3 days.
Fridays.
No, Hashem Malach Gius Lavesh. That should be okay. Yeah, you're okay with that. And Lam Natzeach Bin Ginos. I guess you can say that. And El Nekamos Hashem for Wednesday. Like those Monday's Yom is the one that gets everybody. It's just like, yeah, I know it. It's there. It's so funny. It's absolutely there. Nobody likes Mondays. So anyway, so it says, V'yazav Hashem l'fnei Aron and b'ris Hashem l'asav l'achav l'sharz l'fnei Aron tamid l'var yom b'yomo. V'oved Edom v'achem shishim ushmona. Oved Edom and their brothers, all together, I guess all of them, 68 of them. Ovid Edom ben Yedisun v'chosa l'sha'arim. And Ovid Edom, son of Yedisun and Chosa, they became the gatekeepers. That's Tzadok HaKohen v'Achav HaKohen l'vnei Mishkan Hashem. Tzadok HaKohen and his brothers, right? They were all Kohanim in front of Hashem. Habama Asher v'Givan, around the Bama. V'halos olos l'Hashem v'mizbach ha'ila. They would bring up olos to Hashem v'mizbach ha'ila. Tamid, la'boiker, la'erev, every morning, every evening. L'chol HaKosim v'Torah Hashem v'shetzi v'al Yisrael. According to everything that was written, they were doing everything correctly according to what the Torah says, right? Al Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there is a separate idea over here. This Mizbeach and everything that they had over here was technically considered like a Bama Gedola. There was no Beis HaMikdash yet, so technically you were still allowed to bring Korbanos outside of the area. It was not a full area, like, wasn't a full Mishkan when it comes down over here. Technically, they were allowed to do something else. But they did have the Ol Moed of Moshe Rabbeinu. They had the Mizbeach Azov. They had the Mizbeach Nechoshes, the Menorah, the Shulchan they should have had over there. They probably had the fire that was coming down from Shemayim, but I can't guarantee that. I don't know. Not positive that that was there over there. And it seems like that's where they brought the Korban Tam and the Musaf and everything like that, that it had the status of the Bama HaGedola when it comes into that. Now, Vayazav Shom Lifnei Aron, where it says, I'm sorry, Lahalos Olos, etc. V'imahim, in Pasuk Mem Aleph over here, and together with them over here, Haman v'Yedusun v'Shara Barurim, and the other very clear people, I guess the singers, when it came down to this, right, Haman and Yedusun, we also see in Tehillim. Yeah, that makes sense, that they were chosen. And Haman and Yedusun clearly are in Tehillim, they're a very special, they had special names. L'chodus l'Hashem kilo l'chastoi, to thank God for all the chesed is his. V'imam Haman v'Yedusun chatosim mitzoltayim, and with them, Haman and Yedusun, there were trumpets and there were cymbals, l'ashmiyam, in order to make them louder, l'chle shir Elohim, as well as other chle shir they used for God of Vnei Yedusun L'Sha'ar. And there were other children of Yedusun who were in charge of the gate. Everybody went home. Yisuf David L'Varech His Beso. David then turned to bless his own household, which is nice. The fact that that we say this over here shows David Melech did not forget his family, meaning he goes back to his family. He, granted, he was dealing with the people the whole time, but as soon as he's ready, he wanted to go back to his family. He wanted to be that person with a private life, so to speak, right, to give them a special bracha just for them themselves. I think that shows something special about who David Melech was. You know, I don't know, again, I spoke about this earlier in this week. I don't quite get the life where you're married to more than one wife at a time. I don't understand what that life is like, especially when you're dealing with 6, 7, 8 wives, possibly even more by this time. I don't understand how that life is like.
Take a trip to Utah. Maybe it'll interest you.
Even then, I'm not so sure, right? I'm not positive I would fully understand. I just don't get it, like how everybody works out. But somehow, that's what it was. So he went back to his house, pulled everyone together, and had one big meal with everyone together, making sure that they all had shaychus, I guess, to give them a special bracha for them. All right. Anyway, now he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now that he brings the Aron back, and he sees that things have gone well. He's the king. He has seeked out whatever he could from Amalek and has destroyed what he could. And now he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayikasher Yashav David Beis. So David was sitting in his house. Vayomer David El Nelson Anavi. After his palace was fully built and things were well, David turned to Nelson Anavi. Inenu Chiyoshiv Beis HaRazon. I'm sitting in a house of cedarwood. V'Aron Bris Hashem Tachzi Rios.
How many Amalekim could possibly be around?
You're right. Obviously, because Shaul Melech would have destroyed. We did say a couple answers to that. We said that although Amalek, there was one official city of Amalekim, there were probably many Amalekim that were around that intermarried and whatever. He had a command for that city. That was the one thing. It didn't mean that there were no Amalekim left, but that city was commanded to be destroyed. For whatever reason, it was asked to be destroyed. It could even be that Agag wasn't Amaleki. That was another thing. It's possible that Agag himself was the king of the Amalekim, like Balak was the king of the Moabim, right? But he wasn't necessarily a Moabi. It's possible that he was coming from somewhere else, and that's Shaul HaMelech's time. Balak. He might have been somebody who was very powerful, a guy that they wanted in charge. And again, remember, if Amalek was not one special nation, which didn't seem, it might have been spread out throughout cities. This city had many Amalekim, right? But it wasn't necessarily ruled by Amalekim.
Yeah, but they
have
a progenitor that we learned, like,
that goes all the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, listen, we just have to think, like, what Shaul HaMelech's thought process was. So it's possible that's the way he was thinking. Like, Agag isn't necessarily a Melech in the first place. But it takes work to be able to figure out. But that was some of the answers we get. But it's a great question. It's a better question than an answer. By the way, but David was in his house. He said to Nelson, listen, I'm sitting in this Beis HaRazon. V'arbis Hashem Tachzi Rios, and the Arbis Hashem is under the cloud, under the sheets? Come on. That's not right. If I'm in a palace, the Arun and everything else should be under a Beis HaMikdash. This was not through Nevuah. if he did it through Nevuah, he would never be able to take it back. Nothing told David Melech, whatever is in your heart, you should do. Ki Elohim imach. God seems to be with you in everything you do. You've been successful in everything you've tried up until now. You've clearly made the land peaceful, as we said before. It's time. You think you can do it? Go ahead and do
it. Well, he should know better.
Nelson and Avi?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is just advice as opposed to a Nevuah.
But from what he's saying, like, Nelson was the one who counseled him and told him that what he did wrong with Bathsheba and all that.
I hear you. Yeah.
So how could he turn around and say, you know,
I think this is before he did Bathsheba. Yeah, it had to be. Because that only happened when David HaMelech was 57.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this must have been much earlier. I would assume it happened much earlier than that. I'm not positive, but it must have been. Again, everything in Shmuel is very, it seems very out of order. Like, different things happen at different times. I cannot tell you that there's a straight narrative that goes through. We were discussing that a couple weeks ago. It's very hard to go through. It seems that way. Bayi Balayla Hu, and it happened on that night, right? That the idea seemed made sense, and this is whatever it was, right? He happens like this. Vayidvar Elokim El Nason Lamor. The word of God came straight to Nelson and Avi, and he said the following. Now, first we have to understand something. There's a bunch of reasons why David HaMelech could not be the person to build up the Beis HaMikdash. The first one is the obvious one. It seems to say very clearly, right, that David HaMelech says to Shlomo Melech, later on in Melachim Aleph or in Divrei Yamin Beis, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me saying, right, that you're filled with blood and he's filled with peace. That a man of bloodshed cannot be the person to build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a place for everyone, and therefore it has to be a man of peace builds it up, and that's Shlomo Melech versus David HaMelech himself. It could be, and the way that it's understood from the Ramban in Bamidbor, says David HaMelech was a warrior, and he would have built the Beis HaMikdash through the attribute of Midas HaDin, and you need the Beis HaMikdash to be a place of Midas HaChesed. And David HaMelech did not have that within him. That's not the person that he was. Therefore, Shlomo Melech had to do it, etc. Very similar to blood versus peace, but a different aspect thereof, right? The third one is a Medrash. The Medrash says that David HaMelech had a conversation, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously, that goes against the narrative over here where Nelson and Navi is telling him not to do it. Perhaps this happened afterward. But David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why can I not build it? And David HaMelech was told, if you would build it, it would stand forever. To which David HaMelech said, that should be a good thing. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's known and revealed that Bnei Yisrael are going to sin, they're going to need to be destroyed, and I'm going to have a choice. Either I take out my wrath on the people and I kill more people, or I destroy the Beis HaMikdash, right? And that'll be like a kapara for the rest of the people. Which one would you prefer? He said to David HaMelech obviously chose destroy the Beis HaMikdash, which means he could not build it. David HaMelech's building would have been too powerful to be destroyed, so therefore he gave up that honor to make sure that the Jews would not go through, and that's the reason why it says, Mizmor La'asaf. There's a song to Asaf. Bo goyim benach la'asecha, timo asecho kachecha. The nations have come into your land, they were metame everything. So the Gemara says, Mizmor? Asaf mi boiled. That's a kina mi boiled. That's a lamentation. I mean, they're talking about a dirge, that the Samitzish is being destroyed. And Asaf said, no, Baruch Hashem, the walls are being destroyed and not the Jewish people. Even though many Jews died, many more would have died had the Beis HaMikdash not been there. So those are the three reasons that are given over there. There is a fourth one, and the fourth one is that it was not yet time to build the Beis HaMikdash because it was not filled with peace yet. Meaning, there were still wars to be had. David HaMelech was not done with the nations around him. Do not build the Beis HaMikdash until you're done making peace with every nation around you. That had not happened yet. And that's the fourth reason mentioned.
How come he didn't go to Tzadok and ask the Rebbe to him directly instead of Nelson?
I think he would have had he been given the chance. This was, I don't want to put it this way, but like this is sort of, he's sitting with Nelson and Avi and saying, this doesn't make any sense. Why don't I build the Beis HaMikdash? To which Nelson and Avi said, I agree with you. So he probably will ask the Urim Tumim. But he hasn't gotten there yet. No need. They're probably chilling out, you know. Yeah.
Isn't the Urim Tumim limited to like going to war and stuff like that?
This was a major thing for the people. The Beis HaMikdash, I think, would be enough to go through for the people. Plus, according to the Ramban, anything the king needs, you're allowed to ask the Urim Tumim. And that's why he kept asking, should I do that? Should I do this? Should I run after the tziklag or should I go whatever? You're allowed to ask anything that a king needs.
So, man, the king should just have like Kohen Gadol sitting there and be like, should I wear these socks or those socks?
Like, those might not be so important. I don't know if that's what you use or are doing for. Leich ba'amarta el David Avdi. Go tell David my servant. Kol Mar Hashem, this is what Hashem says. Lo atot tivnin li abayis lo shavis. You will not build the Beis HaMikdash for me to live in. Kilo shavdi abayis mina yom asher alisi es Yisrael. Because I did not live in a house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling. It sounds so funny. From the day that I brought up in Israel out of Yom Hazeh until today. Va'yeh me'ol ha'ol mi mishkan. And I went from tent to tent and in the mishkan. B'chol asher Yisrael. Wherever I went among B'nai Yisrael. Dover di barti al achad shofti Yisrael. Would tell over to one of the shoftim Yisrael. Shutzivisi Lurus is me, the one that I commanded to shepherd my nation. Lamar, Lamalavanis and Libes Orazin. I've said to them, and I've said, it's more like a question. Did I ever say a word to any of them in saying, why didn't you build me a Beis HaMikdash? This is what you say to my servant, to David. This is what Hashem says. I took you from the corrals, from the place of the sheep, Nagid, Alami Yisrael, to be the prince of my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you go. I've cut down all of your enemies from in front of you. And I made you a name, like a renown, like all the gedolim in the land. And I made a place for my people Israel. And I planted them there. Right? And they should live in that place. Well, your God's Oyden no longer get angry, and no longer will there be bad people, right, to beleaguer it, so to speak, like it was in earlier times. I need a place where they're going to be, where there's going to be security, where I don't have to worry about things. I don't have to worry about it being destroyed. From the days that I pointed B'nai Yisrael, right, from the day that I pointed all those judges over B'nai Yisrael, I will subdue, I promised I would subdue all the enemies. And I'll declare to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make something for you, for Hashem. When your days are complete, and you go to your forefathers and everything's all done. This is in Pasuk Yud Aleph over here. Actually, Yemi Ben Echo, one of your sons will take over. I'll make his malchus firm. Who even really buys? He will build the base of Mishmi V'chonatias Kisoy Ad Oilam, and I'll set up his Kisei forever. And I'll be his father. He'll be my son. I'll not turn my chesed away from Kasher Asirosikmi Asher HaYelufanecha. Like I turned it away from Shoal was in front of him. I will stand you. I will establish him as my house and my malchus forever. And his throne will be there forever. All these words and this entire vision, Natsan gave over to David HaMelech himself. Now, David HaMelech's reaction could be one of two things. Either he could be like extremely angry, right? What? I don't deserve it after everything I've done. Or he could just be silent, right? And just say, like, okay, I guess if that's how it has to be, like, be upset. Like, I wanted to do this, and now I can't do it. David HaMelech's reaction was the exact opposite. He was ecstatic to hear that his sons were going to be kings after him, that the Malchus would last forever, and that his son would build the Beis HaMikdash. He said, that's awesome. That's all I want to hear. I don't need to hear anything else. What else should I possibly... This is unbelievable. So that was the happiness that he went to over here, right? And how happy he was when it came down to that. It's interesting. You know, the Pasuk said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all the days that B'nai Yisrael were there, did I ever tell one of the Shvatim to build a Beis HaMikdash? Correct. Never did. Why didn't anyone in B'nai Yisrael get up and think that way? Why didn't anyone in B'nai Yisrael get up and say, I want to build the Beis HaMikdash? Like, it took David HaMelech, how many years? 460 years later, after the Mishkan was made, for him to get up and say, hey, I want to make the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's when he had to do it. No one thought of this before him. No one at all. So the Ramban asked this question. He says, it seems, right, that this was wrong, and it was considered like something that's a little bit crazy. It shows the greatness of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech stirred himself to want to do something a little bit more and to make something a little bit more than everybody else. And it's a bad thing for all the people before him that they never did this. But there is an obvious answer to this Ramban, and the Rishonim do bring this down. There is no command in the Torah to build a Beis HaMikdash. There's a command to build a Mishkan. There is no command to build anything else. There's no command to have a spot. It doesn't say Yerushalayim, it doesn't say Arabai. Remember, they had to be darshaned by Shmuel and Navi and David on the roof, but they had to figure out where it's going to be. It doesn't say a spot. It doesn't say what they had to build. There's nothing.
Reference to the spot, though? It doesn't say where the spot is, but it says Elam
HaKadosh. HaMakom Asher Evchar. But that could be where the Mishkan is. That could be Shiloh, Givon.
What about
right? No,
where
it could
Yaakov
be anywhere.
Put the stones down?
Now, yes, we only know that after the fact, because Yaakov Avinu put the stones down. That happens to be the Makom HaMikdash. If Shaul would have had his way, had Shaul not sinned, Shaul Paskind, who was going to be in a different place. It was going to be in the highest spot in Eretz Yisrael, which would be Giva or whatever it is. David HaMelech chose the highest spiritual spot in Eretz Yisrael.
The highest spot in Eretz Yisrael would be up north.
Well, you would assume, right? I don't know if that's biblical Israel. Do you think the Hermon is in biblical Israel?
Yeah, it doesn't. It goes all the way up.
It's a question because where Shevet's done went.
Even if it's not
Hermon, a lot down there.
There's other taller mountains over there.
You might be right. I don't know. Sholem, the line that's given by, I forgot who, was Sholem Allah picked the highest spot physically and Dovin Allah picked the highest spot spiritually. And that's what they chose between them.
The highest spot spiritually.
That the Makom Mahar Moriah, you'd assume. I think that was a spot that was always made holy. Hara Maria, they have to have known that. From the Avos, you're saying because they weren't there for so many years, yeah, it would go through.
Who knows, comes back to the spot.
I don't know. If they had Nevi'im, I think they would have known it. That's my opinion. I didn't see that anywhere, but I would think they would have known it.
When they were determining the Makom HaMikdash, then maybe the Nevi'im said this is the spot.
No, because it was made by David and maybe because Shmuel and Avi said, you're right, this is it.
So around this time.
Yeah, Shmuel and Avi might have made it. It could be that somebody did that beforehand, though. They had been there for 400 years. I would find it really hard to believe that they didn't know where Hara Maria was.
Especially, they might have known the name of the mountain, but how do we know that?
Where do they know where it was? There were people living there. I know, but there were people living there. You'd think they would know names of mountains. I don't know. I find that a little bit easier. I'm sure, especially with Nevi'im. I don't have a problem with that because they had people living there and the name of a Navi. But even more so, what happened over here? The Ramban says, this is the issue. The issue is that it doesn't say it anywhere. In order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you need a Nevuah. Now, Shlomo Melech received that Nevuah. I don't know if it was Shlomo directly or Shlomo through Nelson and Navi, but they needed a Nevuah. And maybe that's why he went to Nelson before the Urim HaTumim. And he said, I'd like to build a permanent spot for the Beis HaMikdash. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? There's no directions in the Torah to build a permanent structure, to build a permanent spot. We have the words in Parshas Truma, Kechol Asher Ani Mareh Oscha, right? Whatever I show you, you can do. And the Chassam Sofer says, and the Rambam says, that's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever I show you in the future. And that's why it hints to it, V'hazuli Mikdash V'shachanti V'socham. Make for me a Mikdash instead of V'hazuli Mishkan. But it doesn't say it anywhere. So perhaps that's the reason why nobody up until then did it, because they didn't have a Nevuah for it. They were waiting for a Nevuah, build the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't ask it. David HaMelech was the first person to get up and say, I know we don't have a Nevuah yet. Let's get a Nevuah. Let's do something to get a Nevuah to make it more permanent.
Since when do we need to wait for Nevuah to do a mitzvah?
I don't know if it's a mitzvah.
Where is Tzitzis today?
No, Kecho Asher Ani Mareh Oscha is not a mitzvah. The Asuli Mikdash was the Mishkan. But that was for the Mishkan. That was for that, and that was accomplished. And to build up an area where the Mishkan would be the mitzvah. But to build something different, the Beis HaMikdash, remember, the Beis HaMikdash took a lot of things in stride. The area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was not the same size as the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Mishkan. Was double in size. The height was way off, right? There were no skins on top, obviously, no Mishkan. There weren't the boards on the side. They made something totally different. Everything was different. The Mishkan Mikdash was totally different. The size of the Shulchanos, the size of the menorah was similar, right? But the size of the Mizbeach outside was almost like 15 times the original size of the Mizbeach that they had by the Mishkan itself.
The first place of Mikdash?
The first place, yeah, 32 by 32.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have a different answer, though. First of all, they didn't have a king, and to kind of like unite the whole nation as one nation. Here, they finally do. Shaul was, but you know, he had 2 years.
You're right.
And it was,
you're right. The Shoftim might not have been
the
strong
stability.
Enough. What about Yoshua?
But he had a different job.
You're right. They didn't finish the conquering, but neither did any other Shoftim. Neither did David until the very, very end. Right, so that's good. But even so, he still wanted to make the Beis HaMikdash.
Well,
it also seems logical, doesn't it? Let's make a permanent structure to put the
sure
Aron instead. It just seems very logical. It doesn't make any sense that they would have an Aron for it while they were living in houses. If they all lived in ohels, okay, I get it. But they weren't living in ohels at this point. Right, so that would make a little more logic.
Could have gotten, you know, this, you know, the Mishkan had been around for so many years.
They were
this
so used to it. You're right. Like, that's why we call it, the Ramban says, it's a Taina and Klal Yisrael. They didn't say anything. David HaMelech was the first person to say something. And what I'm trying to say is that the Taina on Bnei Yisrael's part, meaning to answer up for why they didn't say anything, is, you're right, they were used to it, and they were waiting for a Nevuah, and they never received it.
And also the Shoftim were, I mean, a lot of them were very tribe-specific, you know.
Yeah, I mean, oh, well...
You don't let the members of this...
Yeah, but we can argue that, because Devorah HaNeviah definitely brought all of them together. There's no question about her. I don't know about... Ehud Ben Gera seemed to, because everybody fought for him, right? You'd have to go through... Gidon definitely fought with at least 7 Shvatim. So at least 7 Shvatim were on his side, because they were the ones who were there.
300 people on his
Yeah, head. But everybody joined, remember? And then Ephraim came, and everybody was there. Remember, he had a lot of people there, and then everybody left.
So who was that only had... Was Yiftach only had, like, one?
Yiftach was small, but Yiftach was hired by the other Jews to end up, you know, to go with everybody. Avimelech was small, clearly. We know nothing about Tola Ben Pua and Ivtsan and, you know, Yair Agiladi and, you know, is Elon Azvuloni. I don't know. I can't tell you. Shmuel and Avi, it seems to have been someone. I don't know. You know, you can look through everybody. You could probably find it. Shimshon certainly was. We don't know, because Shimshon's Shoftim reign versus when he was in Plishti mode. I don't know. I don't. What was he like when he was the 20-year shofet of Klal Yisrael?
I mean, you could also argue that Shmuel was the beginning of like the king
period. Very, very good. So all the way through over here, that's the idea behind it. He was like that. So either way, when it says Kishema Gedolim Shavaretz, you had the name. Obviously, in Pashup Shad, Barbanel and the Radak says your name is going to be well known throughout history. That's something that happened to come true. It's more likely that it refers to the fact that he's like the Avos, and that's the idea behind it. The Zohar refers to this pasuk when it says, you are the fourth leg of the chariot of God. There's Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David, right? The David and Lozer comes from that pasuk over there. Okay, now, Shlomo Melech is going to be around over here. It's interesting. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, this is clearly referring to who his son is going to be. It does not mention his son. At the time, David HaMelech probably assumed it was referring to Avshalom or Adoniyahu, maybe even Amnon, who is still alive at the time, perhaps Kilov, Daniel, right? He never would have known, because I don't think Shlomo HaMelech was alive at the time, so he wouldn't have known that that's what he refers to. Either way, it's going to be forever. Okay. Vayavo HaMelech David, Vayishu Lefnei Hashem. He sat down in front of Hashem, Vayomer, Mi Ani, Hashem Elokim. Mi Beisi, who is my house? Ki Aviyosani Adalom, that you brought me all this way. Vatikdan Zos Beinecho Elokim. Allow this to be so insufficient in your eyes, Vatikdan Zos Beinecho Elokim, that you speak of, you know, the house of your servant in such a far-ranging, you know, so far in the future. Risani Kisora Adam Hamala, you have considered me as one, you know, as a great man. Hamala Hashem Elokim. Mayosivo David Elecha Lechavod Es Avdecha. What more can David say to honor your servant? Bata Es Avdecha Yadata. You know your servant. Hashem Bavur Avdecha. Hashem, it is because of your servant over here, right? This is the idea behind it. Before, this is interesting. Oh. Moshe Eisman says he realized about Mashiach at this point. He realized how it's going to be. And that's why he's saying such a long-ranging, that it's going all the way down over here. How could you have promised me that it's going to go all the way to Mashiach? Hashem b'vor avdecho chalipcho asisas kol gedul azois. Right, you've done unbelievable things according to your desire. You've just bestowed all this greatness to tell everybody of all your greatness. Hashem ein kamocha, there's no one like you. V'enelokim zolasecha, there's no other God like you. Kol asher shemanu ba'azneinu, everything we've heard in our ears doesn't compare to anything we know about you. V'im kam chesoga echad ba'aretz, who is among you Israel, one nation in the land. So it's not only I'm praising God, I'm also praising the Jews. Asher halach elokim liftos lo la'am, right, where our Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen them to redeem them. L'sum lecha shem gadlus gedulois, I'm sorry, v'norois, v'garj v'nei amcha shepetizim v'yitzayim goyim. V'atitin lecha Yisrael l'chol la'am ad oylam, you should give B'nei Yisrael, your nation over here, they should be a people forever. V'atashem Yisrael ha'melohim, you should be their God. V'atashem ha'devar asher divarta l'avdecha v'al b'yisoy. Ye'amein ad oylam, you should last forever. V'asei, kashivarta, you should do everything you said. V'amein. Biigdal Shimcha Ad Oivam Lemo Hashem Sivakos Alakeisro Alakim Li Yisrael Beis David Avdecha Nochulun Vanecha Kiat Alokai Kalisa Zosan Avdecha. You have opened up the ear of your servant Livnoso Bayis. Okay, Matz Avdecha Lispa Lovanecha, and that's why I daven in front of you. Atashem Atohu Elokim. Vatidaber Avdecha Atoiva Zos. You have told your servant this greatness. Vatol Alto Lavarakas Beis Avdecha Liosla Olam Lefanecha Kiat Hashem Beirachto Mevorach Li Oilam. You should be blessed forever and ever. Okay, now comes the preparation time. What's he going to do in order to prepare for the Beis HaMikdash to be there? The first thing he's going to do is he's going to say, okay, I hear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't want me to build it because I'm a man of war. You need a person who's going to be a man of peace. Then I've got to take care of the people, right, in the future so that my son will have a land of peace. What David HaMelech now does is different from what he's been doing up until now. Up until now, it's been more defensive wars. He's been fighting. When other people fight him, he defended himself and he took care of himself. Now, David HaMelech goes on the offensive. He takes care of every nation around his area, making sure they don't come near. The one nation that's going to be missing from this is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim still is anathemic to fighting Klal Yisrael. They cannot deal with Klal Yisrael. They're still scared out of their minds of Klal Yisrael because of what they did 400 years earlier. That's the only nation that not only does David not subdue, he doesn't go near, he doesn't need to. He's not worried about Mitzrayim.
But it's also not that close.
Closer than Aram.
But Aram's not close to the northern the tribes who lived all the way up
even
north.
Even so, we're dealing with Aram Tsova and then Aram Naharaim. You're all the way to the rivers. It's the Euphrates and the Tigris.
Yeah, but there was even a time at the end of David's life where
it went further.
The borders went all the way to the
Euphrates.
Yeah,
but you didn't have to go all the way out there. That would be like the outer borders right over there. Mitzrayim is close. It's 11 days. 11 days walk.
Yeah, but the desert.
Not so much.
People were living there anyways.
Sea. No, hold on. You could go by the what's it called? By the Mediterranean Sea. That's not desert area.
Well, yeah, it's salt water. It's not like fresh water.
No,
there.
Granted, but there's still the river of Mitzrayim is
people
right there.
There's
still rivers there. Yeah, people live there. The Pelishtim were there. The Plishim were there.
It also says
could have gone there. But it is. It's the fact is, Mitzrayim was scared. Scared. And we don't mention them. They're not mentioned until Rechavam. And even then, remember, they didn't even, it wasn't even about that. They would have gone away if not for, all right, whatever. That's that. But now we're going to discuss five nations. The Plishim, Moab, Ammon, Aram, and Edom all together right over here, right? This is what happened. He ended up going into all of these nations and took care of them. Now, it's interesting because many of these nations, they were not allowed to fight. For example, Moab and Ammon, they were told straight out in the Torah, you're not allowed to fight Moab and Ammon. Edom as well, you're not going to fight them now. Now, it could be, well, then you couldn't fight, but now you should fight. So it could be that Edom is now gone. But they made a deal with Aram, and the Plishtim, technically, David HaMelech had a bit of a deal with Achish, the king of Gath, right, because of all the kindness that he had shown him right over there before as well. So either way, what did David HaMelech want to do over here? Medrash says that David HaMelech would not do anything with his general Yoav or do anything until he discussed it with Sanhedrin first, especially because this was an offensive war, not a defensive war. He was going in the offense to try to take care of them, make sure it was over there. So when he went to Basin, he asked them, can I fight Moab, Ammon, and Aram? Is that allowed? We have a bris with Aram. We are told by the Torah not to fight Moab and Ammon and also Edom. Am I allowed to do it or not? And Sanhedrin Paskin that they were allowed to. So by Aram, the reason was because Aram has already broken the treaty twice. One time by the times of Bilam and Balak. The second time by Cushan Rishathaim, when Cushan Rishathaim came and destroyed them in the beginning of Shoftim, right, by Yasniel ben Kenaz, when Yasniel ben Kenaz subdued them. Since they abrogated the pact, the idea beforehand, the Shavuah beforehand, therefore Bnei Yisrael was able to fight them there. Yeah, by the times of Yitzchak Avinu, he made a deal with the children of the people of the Plishtim, as well as Lavan. I'm sorry, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu made it with Lavan. I said Yitzchak made it with the Plishtim. And that's that. So Yaakov made it with Aram itself. So because they did it first, they fought us first, so therefore, okay. So too with Moab. Eglon, the king of Moab, had already fought them, and therefore they were allowed to do this. They were allowed to do that completely. Edom had
that
attacked.
That would be different. One was a treaty. You break the treaty, you break it. The other one is such, I'm commanding you, don't go to war. So even if they start up with you, who gives you permission to go back?
It's a really good call. But there were two things that Moab did that were pretty evil. One of them is that they did go and they fought them. And this is, again, this is part of Sanhedrin's idea. Number two, remember, Moab did kill David HaMelech's parents, according to the Medrash. Yishai and Nitzeves were brought there by David when he was running away from Shaul HaMelech, and they were both killed there, right? That's why the Navi went to David and said, you have to escape now. He told David to get out as soon as he could. The only one that survived was Eliav. He was the only one of his brothers that had survived from that thing itself, right? But he was supposed to be over there. The Plishim, we know how many times they attacked Klal Yisrael, so that's not Akasha by the times of Shmuel and Avi, right? That was over there, and Shaul, etc. Ammon, right, we're going to see, was not Bnei Yisrael on the offensive. Ammon was a defensive war. In fact, David HaMelech tried to make a bris with them, and Ammon fought them first, which is what happened over here. There is one issue. David HaMelech went too far in his war against Edom. When he went against Edom, he should have fought the people that were, you know, the leaders and the people in charge, etc. But Yoav destroyed every male in all of Edom and tried to destroy everybody there. It's as if he wanted to destroy all of Edom from off the map. That was a criticism, and that is a real problem. Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah, Aleph says that David HaMelech was punished for asking that Edom go. He went too far when it comes to Edom itself. Now let's see what it says. Vayihi, in the beginning of Parak Yurches, it says, Vayiach Reichain, Vayach Dovid his Plishim, Vayach Neim, knocked down the Plishim, destroyed them, Vayikach his Gas, Ubunosam Yaplishim, he took Gas and all of its other subsidiaries, the other cities from the Plishtim itself. Now, remember, Gas, there were five cities in Plishtim world, right? Ashkelon, I don't remember all of them, I'd have to remember, right? What are the other guys? Ashkelon, I forgot what they are. Either way, Gas was the one that was in charge. Achish was the king of Gas. Ashdod, yeah, very good, right? And Gas was the one where Achish was in charge. Since Achish was his old friend who helped him out, he allowed him to be the protector. In other words, he now is the governor of the Plishtim, but a peace treaty was made between them and David HaMelech, they wouldn't be able to fight from that point on. The Achaz Moav, Layu Moav Avadim LeDavid Nosei Mincha, they give him gifts. By Ach David is Hadadezer Melech Tzova, Chamasa, right by Hamas, Belechto LeHatziv Yadav Ben Harpratz, when he went to go by the Euphrates River. By Yoko David Mimenu Elef Rechav, he took 1,000 chariots, Yeshivas Alef and Parashim, and 7,000 warrior, horsemen or whatever. Vasim Elef Yish Ragli, and 20,000 warriors. By Akir David, as Kol HaRechav, Yosem Menu Neo Rechav. He left them 100 chariots, but he uprooted the legs of all the others. Now, there's a kasha. Why would David HaMelech have done that? Meaning, why would he uproot the legs of the horses? Why would that be mutter to do? He just sort of made them suffer. Now, granted, he didn't want them to have an army, but why didn't he just take them himself? And the answer is really simple. David Melch was not allowed to have too big of an army of horses. You know what the Pasuk says? Lo yarba lo susim. You can't have too many horses. So he came to a point where he didn't know what to do. If he takes the horses for himself, he's going to be over on the Lav. But if he leaves them by him, that means they could fight in the future. You don't want to leave these war horses by them. So he had to uproot them. He had to maim them so they would never be able to fight again.
How does that sound?
I don't know. That would have to be by the Nevi'im at the time.
If you were to take the horses for himself, he's not owning them. He's giving for his army.
Maybe that answers it. Maybe more than what the army needs. If they have more than what the army needs, that would be a problem. Right? Maybe that's exactly the answer. Anyway, he left them with 100. Yovel, Ram Darmesek, he came over to Damascus, Aram Darmesekis, Lazor Lahadadez Melatsova, to help, right? He came over, or I should say the other word. Aram Darmesek came to help Hadadezer Melatsova, the Akhtov of Aram, as Yishnai Melavish, he killed another 22,000 men. Yes, and Dov of Aram Darmesek, but Yodom, via Aram Lidavid, Avodim Nosimincha, all of Aram then became Avodim, carrying gifts for Dov and Melavish, Hashem Lidavid, Cholashallah, wherever he went, Hashem helped him. But he got over to Shulti Azov, Asher Hayu Al Avdi Hadadezer, he took all the things of gold, the things that were in towers, that were on the Avodim of Hadadezer, Vayivim Yerushalayim, he brought them all to Yerushalayim, Mi Tivchas Umikun, Ari Hadadezer, from Tivchas and Kun, the cities of Hadadezer, Lokdav Nechoshes, Rabbi took a ton of copper, Ma'od, Bo'os Shlomo as Yam Nechoshes. That was what he donated to Shlomo Melech to make the Yam Nechoshes, his Amudim and the pillars, that's Klei Nechoshes. So he took all this stuff. And again, why didn't he take the money for himself? A king is commanded, you can't have too much silver. Therefore, he donated it all to the Beis HaMikdash itself, right, or the future Beis HaMikdash, and that's what he did over there. That's what he ended up doing over here. Now, there is a machlokas about the status of all of this land right now. Aram, for example. What is the status of this land when it comes to Shemitah, Truma, Meiser, all the dinim of halachos of Eretz Yisrael? What do you do? Is this land considered its own or not? The Gemara calls it Kivush Yachid. And there's machlokas, Kivush Yachid, when an individual conquers something, is it Shmei Kivush or not? Now, why is this considered Kivush Yachid? Because you cannot conquer other lands until you finish conquering Eretz Yisrael. At this moment, David HaMelech had not finished conquering Eretz Yisrael. There were still some of the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. And because he hadn't finished it yet, everything he conquered now was only considered Kivush Yachid, and therefore it had the status as if it was not part of Eretz Yisrael. It had certain statuses, but not regarding Shemitah and Truma and everything like that. Okay, so that's what ended up happening here. Vayishma Tou Melech Hamas. Ki Yikud David Eskol Chel Hadid Ezra Melech Tova, that he had destroyed all of it. Vayishlach as Hadorim Beno El Melech David. Lish Olo Lishalom. He sent Hadorim, his son, to the King David to ask him how he was doing. Levorcho and bless him Asher Nilcham Hadid Ezra, that he had waged war in Hadid Ezra. Yakeh would get destroyed. Ki Yishma Chomas Tou Hay Hadid Ezra. Because Tou and Hadid Ezra hated each other. Chol Klei Zavach Hasven Echoshet, he had lots of silver and gold and copper. Gamos and Mikdash HaMelech David Lashem, and even those he gave over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mekesef HaZov, Asher Nelson Mikol HaGoyim, that he had carried over from all the nations, Me Edom, Me Moav, Me Amonim, Me Plishim, Me Amalek, Avshai Ben Tsruya, interesting because he's normally known as Avishai, but Avishai Ben Tsruya, this is Yoav's brother, the third brother, remember Asol was already killed, Yoav was the general, Avishai was the other general, Hika as Edom Begei Melech, he destroyed the Edomim in Gei HaMelech, Shemon Asar, 18,000, Vyasam Edom Nitzivim, they made princes there, but you call Edom Avodim, there were servants of David, Yosha Hashem, Esdav, Vechol Asher Allah, he won everything. He reigned over all of Bnei Yisrael. He did Mishpat and Tzedakah. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that means that every time he did judgment, if he saw that the person who lost could not pay the money, he went ahead and gave Tzedakah to that person to make sure he was able to pay the money. And now we go through, these are the people that were there, because obviously no leader can do anything on his own. Yoav ben Tsruya was in charge of the army. Sorry, Yoshafat ben Achilud Mazkir, he was either the secretary of state, or he wrote down all the judgments that David Melech did. Tzaduk ben Achitub, Avimelech ben Avyasar, Kohanim, they were the Kohanim. Tzaduk ben Achitub was the Kohen Gadol at the time. Avimelech ben Avyasar, he was the Meshuach Melchama. The Shavsha was the Sofer. He was for sure the scribe that was in charge of doing everything when it came to the Sifrei Torah that were in Klal Yisrael. Ben Yoav ben Yada Alakresi Vaplesi. Either that means the slingers and the archers, which means he was in charge of one of the parts of the army, or this is a reference to Sanhedrin, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that crazy in place of the people that were Kores Divram and Mufla Bidivram, right, that they were the people that were very special, and that was Beniyo Beniyoda, Ubnei David Harishonim Liada Melech. And the children of David were his ministers that stood by his side, that were in charge of many different things that had to go on in the kingdom itself. They were all like the dukes of different places, taking care of whatever needed to happen. There were the executives of the state. Yes. Yeah.
He's, we have Avyasar later on.
Correct. Right? I believe that's his son, Achimelech's son.
So, but how does it make sense that here we are about 30 years, whatever it is, 20 years even earlier, the son is the Meshulach Melchama, and then 20 years later, his father is angling for a Kohen Gadol job under Adonijah?
I think, I don't remember, but I think what happened was Tzadok lost his ability to see in the Urim and Tumim, and Avyasar was able to. And that's why Yosef was given the job of the Kohen Gadol. Right? But he wasn't supposed to be.
But he didn't get the job from Shlomo. Didn't start up staying on as Kohen Gadol.
I don't remember. I'd have to look up. I don't remember. Something happened at that point. I remember something happening, but I don't know what happened.
No love for...
Good call, yeah. What's up?
No love for Mephibosheth or...
Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was his Rebbe,
yeah.
And Yair and Ira Hayairi. I don't know why either one of them aren't mentioned. Maybe they were dead by now. It could be they died. Mephibosheth and Ira Hayairi. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But yeah, obviously they were extremely hush of people. But they weren't warriors, and it doesn't seem that they went around here. Okay, next week we'll try to go into Ammon, what happened with Ammon, and how they fought against David HaMelech, and obviously things went in a different direction. Okay.